verses 3 and 4. This is a new chapter because we just concluded the chapter around the birth of Maharaj Parikshit. This chapter, chapter 13 of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, is called as, is titled as Dhritarashtra Quits Home. So we'll read text 3 and 4.
Tam bandhum agatam drishtva dharma putra sahanuja dhritarashtro yuyutus dhritarashtro yuyutsuscha suta sarvata prita Gandhari Draupadi Brahman Shubhadra Chotara Kripi Anyascha Jamaya Pandor Nyatya Shashutashtriya.
Tam. Him.
Yes.
Bandhum.
Bandhum.
Relative.
Relative.
Agatam.
Agatam.
Having arrived there.
Having arrived there.
Drishtva.
Drishtva.
By seeing it.
By seeing it.
Dharmaputra.
Dharmaputra.
Yudhishthira.
Yudhishthira.
Saha Anuja.
Saha Anuja.
Along with his younger brothers.
Along with his younger brothers.
Dhritarashtra.
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 Yuyutsu.
Satyaki.
Satyaki.
Cha.
And
Sutah
Sanjaya
Sharadvata Saradvata
Kripacharya
Pritha Kunti
Gandhari
Draupadi Brahman O Brahmanas Shubhadra,
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 and
Uttara,
Uttara,
Kripi,
Kripi,
Anya,
others,
Cha,
and
Jamaya,
wives
of other family members,
Pando,
of the Pandavas,
Nyataya,
family members,
Sir
Sutaha,
along
with their sons,
Sriya,
the ladies.
Ladies.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. When they saw Vidura return to the palace, all the inhabitants, Maharaj Yudhishthira, his younger brothers, Dhritarashtra, Satyaki, Sanjaya, Kripacharya, Kunti, Gandhari, Draupadi, Shubhadra, Uttara, Kripi, many other wives of the Kauravas and other ladies with children all hurried to him in great delight. When they saw Vidura return to the palace, all the inhabitants hurried to him in great delight. It so appeared that they had regained their consciousness after a long period. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha
श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादां सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितं च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगद्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम
Hare Krishna. So, as we mentioned before, this chapter is titled as Dhritarashtra Quits Home. This is the third and fourth verse. The purport is too lengthy today. It's too long. If we read the purport, probably it will take 15 minutes. So what we'll do is, we'll begin the class with the context and the background of what's the situation. And then we'll go to the purport and take relevant sections from that. And offline, you can read the purport on your own. However, if we have time, which is highly unlikely, towards the end of the class, we'll try and read the purport.
When they saw Vidura return to the palace, all the inhabitants hurried to him in great delight. It so appeared that they had regained their consciousness after a long period. So, what's happened as far as the Srimad Bhagavatam is that Shaunaka Rishi has asked a question to Suta Goswami. As you are aware, Srimad Bhagavatam is a conversation between different personalities. It's a compendium of all these conversations, if you like. So on one hand, Sukadeva Goswami is talking to Maharaj Parikshit. On the other hand, Suta Goswami is addressing the sages in Naimisharanya and so on and so forth. There are so many multiple conversations that are happening. So Shaunaka Rishi asked Suta Goswami a question in the first canto,
in the 4th chapter, between verses 9 to 12, he requested Suta Goswami to talk something about Maharaj Parikshit's birth and his activities. So thus, in chapter 12, which was the chapter before this, Suta Goswami began to answer that part, which is Sukadeva Goswami's birth. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, 16th chapter and 17th chapter, the activities of Maharaj Parikshit are described. So, his birth has already been described in chapter 12, and in 16 and 17, his activities are described. And in chapter 18 and 19, the whole pastime of how Maharaj Parikshit was cursed, which lay the foundation of Srimad Bhagavatam to be spoken, that is described in 18 and 19. So in that sense, there is a gap between 12 and 16 to 19. Now why is that gap there in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Why suddenly are we taking a detour from Parikshit Maharaj's birth and then having a gap, and then after 4th chapters then we are going back to, you know, his activities and pastimes? So that's very important to understand. Now, between the 13th and the 15th chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam, 13th is what we are discussing today, there are few occurrences that happen, which happen immediately after Lord Krishna ends his earthly pastimes. And these occurrences or these pastimes then lead up to Maharaj Parikshit taking the throne of Hastinapur. So it's not that his birth happened and, you know, with nothing happening in between, just as a matter of time then he has taken, you know, the throne of Hastinapur. There are significant events that happen in the next three chapters, 13, 14 and 15, that lead up to that. And that's why there is a gap. And Sukadeva Goswami is speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Suta Goswami is speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam and answering the question of Saranaka Rishi. Now, in this context, His Grace Gurujan Prabhu mentions in his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, which is called as Unveiling the Lotus Feet, he mentions that Srila Sridhar Swami comments that unless Vidura's returns from Hastinapur, which is what is happening in this chapter, the hero of this chapter, if you like, of the 13th chapter is Vidura. That he is the central personality on whom we all meditate when it comes to the 13th chapter. The qualities, the devotional qualities that Vidura had. So, Srila Swami says that unless Vidura's return to Hastinapur, as well as the Pandava's departure from the kingdom of Hastinapur is described, it will not be very clear as to how and why Maharaj Parikshit became the king of Hastinapur eventually, leading up to the chastisement of Kali thereafter. So that is the context. So this chapter is a very, very important section for all classes of people, be it brahmacharis, especially this is extremely important, this chapter, for grihasthas or householders. And there are many of them today in the class. It will be very, very relevant. So as I mentioned before, Vidura and his devotional qualities form the central theme of this chapter. So today we will spend some time discussing about Vidura's life, his qualities, and what are the important lessons that we learn from Vidura in the context of this particular verse. So it's very important to understand, first of all, that what has transpired in Vidura's life leading up to this situation where he is returning from somewhere and all the Pandavas are very happy to welcome him. So happy they are that the translation says that they regained their consciousness after a long period of time. How does that sound? Someone comes, we are happy, but someone comes and we regain our consciousness. When do we regain our consciousness? Which consciousness is being spoken here? Krishna consciousness, right? So they regained their consciousness. So when does our consciousness revive? When a sadhu enters, That is why that word is chosen there, that they regain their consciousness after a long period of time. Sometimes we observe that Monday to Friday when we go to office, there is a highly passionate atmosphere there, right? And when we come on Saturday and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we regain our consciousness after a long period of time. When we see the deities, when we see Srila Prabhupada, when we see all the Acharyas, when we see the Goswamis, and then when we start hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or start the Kirtan, it's a completely different world. We feel as if we have been extricated from hell. And then, you know, directly placed in Golok Vrindavan when we enter the temple. Right? So, something similar situation was there here with the Pandavas. After the battle of Kurukshetra, everything was just in disorder. Nobody was happy within their hearts. So when Vidura came, it was like the Saturday. He came and everyone regained their consciousness after a long period of time. Now, it is important to understand who is Vidura. Vidura is described as the Shudra incarnation of Yamaraj. At least I did not know this before I studied Srimad Bhagavatam. I did not know that Vidura is Yamaraj. He is the Shudra incarnation of Yamaraj. Now, as Gageshwar Prabhu yesterday was mentioning in the class, why did this incarnation descend on this planet? That's because long time ago there was a Muni by the name Manduka Muni. He was a sage. And as he was meditating, some dacoits, some thieves entered his house and they took shelter in his house, in the house of Manduka Muni. Eventually, these thieves were arrested. But along with these thieves, Manduka Muni was also arrested. That is a big basic problem here, right? So it was no fault of his. It was just in his hut. Some thieves have entered, what can he do? And it was not that, it is not mentioned anywhere that he consciously gave shelter to the dacoits. It is not mentioned. I couldn't find it anywhere. If any of you have read it, please correct me. So, when the king arrested all these dacoits along with Manduka Muni, obviously Manduka Muni was very upset with that. Not only were they arrested, but they were sentenced to piercing with a lance. And yesterday, Gangeshwar Prabhu very graphically explained what is the punishing by lance, and it was horrific actually. No, I was thinking about it after the class, many hours after the class, where you pierce with the lance through the backside, you know, applying wax so that the person gradually dies, you know, sliding down. So it's just unimaginable. So we can imagine that if we are given that punishment by somebody, that you will be dying with a lance piercing, what will our consciousness be at that time? Yeah, and we understand that, yes, you know, we are not the body, we are the soul. But sometimes we still don't understand, you know, when we are told that, you know, we will die by lancing. So, Manduka Muni was extremely worried and in anxiety, and he had to go through this whole experience, the fear of having pierced and the agony. More so ever, he was annoyed that he had not done anything wrong. So why? Why such a harsh punishment for him? Because after all, he was a sage. He was detached from material life. He did not desire the possessions of anyone. So when he went to So Manduka Muni was so upset that he went to Yamaraj and he asked him, why have I been given this punishment? Manduka Muni did not perish in this pastime. In fact, what happened was that later on the king realized that he is not at fault and the king released Manduka Muni. So he was not pierced with the lance. But nevertheless, the whole experience was not very palatable. So he met Yamaraj and asked him, why me? What did I do? So Yamaraj told him that in your early years, you had pierced an ant with a straw. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason that you have to get punishment like this. Just for piercing the ant with a straw. And in today's world, people are slaughtering cows and eating meat, eating beef and meat. People are slaughtering goats. So we can imagine, if for that this is the punishment, then what is the punishment that awaits meat eaters? So when Manduka Muni was told by this by Yamaraj, he wasn't very happy with this. He said, look, whatever I did at that time was based on childish innocence. It doesn't warrant a punishment of this enormity.
So, and he was so upset by this, that for such a small thing he has been given such a big punishment, that he cursed Yamaraj, that you will be born as a Shudra. And that Shudra incarnation of Yamaraj is Vidura. So, Yamaraj, after being thus cursed, eventually took birth in this material world as Vidura. How did he take birth? He was conceived by Vyasadeva. Yamaraj was conceived by Vyasadeva, or Vidura was conceived by Vyasadeva in the womb of a maid servant of Ambika, who was the mother of King Pandu. And he was given the name Vidura. Now, though he was the son of a maid servant, Bhishma himself, being a Mahajan, never treated Vidura like a son of a servant. He was always treated equally, like any other person in the kingdom, by Bhishma. And he was married at the appropriate time to the daughter of a Brahmana who had association with the Sudrani. So he was born to the mix of a Brahmana and Sudrani, like that. So he was in one sense half Brahmana, half Sudrani. Of course, we understand from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions that, what is the verse? Chaturvarna Maya Shishtam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. So birth is not so important in deciding, it's not at all important in deciding whether the person is Brahmana or not. Vidura was a Vaishnava. But his birth has been described as being a marriage between a Brahmana and a Shudrani mix. So on one hand, Bhishma was Bhishma did not discriminate at all and treated him equally. But what is surprising is Dhritarashtra also was very kind to Vidura. Now, we have always been hearing, you know, the dark side of Dhritarashtra, spiritually blind and, you know, so many things. Yes, that is true. But when it came to Vidura, they had a very special affectionate relationship. And today we will talk something about this relationship between these people. Brotherly affection. So Dhritarashtra also gave sufficient state property to Vidura. So he did not have to struggle for money in his life. Ever. And lot of affection flowed between both these brothers. And this affection between these two brothers forms a very important, vital part of the section that we are going to discuss now. Because many of us also have brothers and sisters either in Australia or back home in India, right? So this section gives very important lessons on how to deal with our kith and kin. Now, what are the important lessons in bhakti that we learn from Vidura's life? So we have seen the context of this verse, we have seen what is the context of Vidura's birth. Now we will talk about the important lessons that we learn from his life. The first and foremost lesson that we learn from Vidura's life is, he teaches us how to depend on Krishna. Surrender has got six elements. Six elements, right? Anukulesa sankalpa, pratikulesa varjanam, rakshishitisa viswaso, guptatve varanam tatha, karpanya is it? And Atmanivedanam, right? These are the six components of surrender. So, we learn Goptritve Varnam Tatha and Rakshishiti Sa Vishwaso very specifically from the life of Vidura. Not that he was not epitomizing the other things, but in this context, these points are coming out very clearly. Now, if you see Vidura, as I said before, he was treated very nicely by Bhishma. And Dhritarashtra also provided whatever that Vidura needed to keep his body and soul together. So never was a time that he was bereft of money, like that. Now, normally what happens is, when one lives one's life under the support of such people, then one becomes materially indebted to such people. Now, gratitude is very important in life. However, gratitude can sometimes take the form of misplaced gratitude also. What is misplaced gratitude? Sometimes, because we are being fed by someone, we become subjugated to their influence on us. For example, if somebody, many times, devotees come and ask questions that, Prabhuji, when I came to Australia for the first time, my friend who is not interested in Krishna, this person, this family, they helped me. When I came from the airport, we went straight to their house and he let me live in his house for 1 month or so before I could find a job and then support myself to go to university. Therefore, Prabhuji, now he is inviting me for a drinks party. Prabhuji, what to do? I have gratitude towards him, because without him, I wouldn't have survived in Melbourne, and without having survived in Melbourne, how would I have come to Krishna consciousness? So on and so forth. So there is a very fine line there. We have to discriminate there. So Vidura was very wise. He did not get subjugated under the influence of materialistic Dhritarashtra, though Dhritarashtra was helping him materially in that way. Rather, instead of following Dhritarashtra or playing second fiddle to him, he tried to guide Dhritarashtra on the spiritual path. Not that he was very goody-goody with Dhritarashtra and very compromising in his principles, Krishna conscious principles. Sometimes we have that saying, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. It was not that kind of relationship. Whatever you do, I'll endorse. But whatever I do also, you don't, you turn a blind eye. So both of us will live comfortably, ruling the kingdom. It was not like that. Or I'm okay, you're okay. Many people have this principle. I am okay, you are okay. And they think there is great virtue. That's a big statement that they have made. That day, Munalila was mentioning to me that she had gone to, whose house was that? She had gone to Brihad Bhanu Prabhu's house for some work. And then as she was coming down, there was an old lady who was struggling to open the door. So she opened the door for this lady. And then immediately the lady saw her tilak and asked her, what's this on your forehead? And obviously then you know what happens when someone asks us that question. The tape recorder starts. Okay. But anyway, she tried to explain that, this is, we are Hare Krishnas and... So as she was explaining, the lady started telling her, one principle that I have in my life is, I don't want to get into all these things. My principle is, I am good to others. Others are good. As long as I don't do any harm, I am okay, everyone else is okay. That kind of principle. Okay. So many people are in love with that. And she thought that she had made a very profound statement by that. She is convinced that she has spoken something which nobody has ever heard in this world before. I am okay, you are okay. How nice that sounds. Yeah. But for a devotee, it's just a mundane statement. It doesn't mean anything. As long as I do not harm anyone, this is what she said. As long as I do not harm anyone, I think I have lived a life successfully. So obviously, Emmanuel knew where to pierce her. She said, yeah, at Hare Krishna moment, we also follow those principles. For example, we don't eat meat. Oh, meat! Oh, no. That is something which I have not been able to give up. What did she say? When I see cabbages and cauliflower, something happens to her, right? She can't tolerate those things. Yeah, that is one aspect of my life which I have not addressed, she said. And that's such a big aspect of life. Of course, you didn't tell her about the piercing by lancing, right? So many people are, come with this kind of school of thought and they think that it's the highest thing in life. So Vidura was not subjected to any of this mundane morality or misplaced gratitude, if you like. He was very clear in his thinking. Vidura was not subjugated also by Dhritarashtra's thinking, nor was he insecure in fear of losing his standard of living. In office, we normally, we see the syndrome. Whatever boss says is right, always. Why? And who is the boss? Whoever decides, whoever can throw us out of the job. Everyone wants to follow his instructions at workplace. You know that this person has the capability to make me redundant. So whatever he says is right. In a meeting, you will find that he is speaking nonsense, but people will accept. Yeah, I think he is right. Yeah. Like that. Every day, this is the most disgusting part of going to office, that you see people towing the line of power and position. So, one has to lose one's backbone. One stops thinking for oneself. Whatever boss says, he says, at the end of the day, how does it matter? In one sense, devotees have a different approach, a A grihastha devotee, what is a grihastha's primary duty? To maintain his family. To do whatever that is required to maintain his family in Krishna consciousness. So obviously it's important that a grihastha takes care of his or her job. Right? So therefore sometimes for us, we follow what is called as the Bhayangan philosophy at workplace. What is Bhayangan philosophy? You know what is Bhayangan philosophy? Bhayangan means brinjal, right? Yeah, brinjal. Once a king was there, he asked his minister, what do you think about Bhayangan? I think it's a great fruit, great vegetable. So he asked his minister. The minister said, excellent. In fact, I'm telling you what to speak of great. It is the best of vegetables. The king was very happy. Very good. After a few days, the king changes and he talked about some other vegetable. Bitter gourd, let's take, just for example. He said, what do you think about this? I think it's a great. He said, Bhayangan is nothing. Bitter gourd, I think, is the best. And two or three times he went on doing that. After some time, the king started wondering, what is this? Whatever I am saying, you know, this fellow is repeating the same thing. So one day, king got annoyed with him and he asked me, what the hell is going on here? You know, when I say this vegetable is very good, you are saying that is the king of vegetables every time. So what is your own opinion on this? And then the minister honestly admitted. He said, I don't care if it's Bhayangan, if it's brinjal, or if it is bitter. All I am interested in is, I know that I need this job. I need to work under it. So whatever you say is okay. So this is called as Bhayangan philosophy. So sometimes devotees also follow this Bhayangan philosophy, albeit with a different reason. Just to not to create too much turbulence in our devotional life. If we have to sometimes say, okay, actually how does it matter? What whether Bhayangan or bitter gourd in terms of office work? Everything is what? Shrama Evahi Kevalam. Na Utpade Nidhirati Shrama Evahi Kevalam. As Swaminas Kanama Karan Maharaj said, whatever anyway we are doing there is Ugra Karma. At the end of the day. Yeah, incidentally, you know, devotees have to go to their job and come and then, you know, they spend part of their, they invest part of their money in Krishna consciousness and to keep their family together. But at the end of the day, we are largely detached from the decisions which are taken at workplace. So, but sometimes people feel very insecure and they toe the line for the wrong reasons. Because they want to get promoted in office, they want to be recognized. So, Vidura did not have any of those sentiments. He was not insecure. And he did not fear losing his existing standard of living. Therefore, he never allowed the influence or the opinions of Dhritarashtra to prevail over his own values in life. Example is given of Shukracharya and Bali Maharaj. When Bali Maharaj wanted to surrender everything to Vamanadeva, at that time, Shukracharya came in between and said, don't give him anything. He will take away everything. Why? Because Shukracharya was worried about his own remuneration as a guru. He knows that if Bali Maharaj gives everything to Vamandev, who is going to maintain him? So that was, therefore such a person is rejected. That such a person is not a guru. But Vidura was completely different. He had a different consciousness. He was not subjugated by the influence of materialists. Neither was he insecure or in fear of losing his standard of living. Nor was he subjugated by mundane morality and mundane gratitude. Like what I was explaining about, you know, the devotees who someone must have helped in, you know, securing permanent residency here when they came to Australia. Same example. We had one incident in our congregation itself where, you know, there was this couple who used to come regularly for Bhakti Viksha programs and in fact, the husband was also coming for the Bhakti Vaibhav program. This was way back in 2005 when Kesha Prabhu had started the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam as a part of our Bhakti Vaibhav course. So, this couple was very nice couple. They used to live far away from the temple, but regardless of that, they used to come for the morning program, they used to attend Srimad Bhagavatam class, they used to attend regularly Kesha Prabhu's class. You know, and that too, Kesha Prabhu used to end at 9 o'clock and then they used to drive. Such a wonderful family, you know, both husband and wife. And they had their children as well. Now, everything went topsy-turvy when the Mataji went back to India. Okay. Prabhuji, I am going to India, please, you know, pray for me. He said, yes, certainly we'll pray for you, he said. So she went back to India, where she met her brother. And she went and told, after landing from the airport, she said, please cook without onion, garlic, no tea, coffee, we have given up everything. We are associated with the Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir now. We are new set of people. Gone is your sister and brother, the old days. All those dialogues were made from here. When they landed up there, something happened. And after coming back to Melbourne, they were not to be seen in the temple. So she called up and asked, what happened? You're not coming to the temple. Is your chanting okay?
"No, Mataji, I'm not chanting now." "Why? You are doing 16 rounds. What happened?" "I don't know, but somehow I'm not getting taste for chanting at all," etc. And then she probed more. What went wrong there? So she said that when she went to India, her brother cooked for her. Her brother was least interested in Krishna consciousness. But he was cooking for her. One day he made something. I don't know. I think it was onion uttapa or something like that. He made. So she said, no, I don't eat onion. So the brother looked into her eyes and told her, "Hey, what happened to you? Your brother has made, don't you remember onion uttapa which you liked? Since childhood I have been making for you. I have made out of love and affection onion uttapa for my sister. How can you forsake that?" And with tears in her eyes, she remembered, she became nostalgic. Her affection for her brother came up, swelled, and then she gracefully accepted the onion uttapa. And then 16 rounds went down after that. So this is called as losing Krishna consciousness out of mundane affection. But Vidura was very careful. He was not like this. His consciousness was completely different. He was in an atmosphere full of materialistic people. But he was very, very focused. So how to depend on Krishna? That is the first lesson. If we learn to depend on Krishna, if we know that the source of our income is not the source of our maintenance, but the source of our maintenance is Lord Krishna, Goptritve Varanam Kuta, Lord Krishna is the maintainer, then one has the confidence that one need not compromise their principles for anything in this world. The Krishna conscious principles, not mundane principles. So this is the first lesson we get. The second lesson we get from Vidura's life is how to deal with adversity in life. Especially, how to deal in a situation where relationships are broken. Many times in Krishna consciousness, many people come from broken families. They have seen troubled relationships in their past, broken relationships. Now, from Vidura's life, we learn how to deal with these kind of situations. As you know, that Vidura was the best well-wisher of Dhritarashtra, who was materially and spiritually blind. So on many occasions, Vidura used to advise Dhritarashtra that get rid of this son. That's a very heavy advice for a father. If someone tells me, "Get rid of Aditya," now how will I do? So what are you saying? Like that. Okay. Of course, Aditya is a devotee. This is an example. So if someone, it's atrocious to go and tell a father, "Get rid of your son." And we are well-wishing, "Get rid of your son." How does that sound? So he used to go and constantly hammer Dhritarashtra with this message. In fact, the example, I think, if I remember from the first canto, it is written, he's a sore eye, right? He's a sore eye. Remove this and throw it away. Like that. Now, while Dhritarashtra, because of his affection for Vidura, was able to absorb that instruction to some extent. Of course, he didn't act on that instruction. That's a totally different thing. But he was hearing it and leaving it from here. Nevertheless, Duryodhan was getting annoyed with Vidura. Just imagine, if you are advising me, get rid of my son, how annoyed my son will be with you. You are the one who is trying to separate father and son, like that. So he was seething with rage against Vidura. So much so, once he came and insulted Vidura, saying that Vidura should get out of this palace right now. You can just imagine, he is an uncle, you are telling him, such a senior person, and such a realized person, get out. You tell someone, get out, how do you feel? Get out of my house, like that. So Duryodhana had this kind of a very offensive mood towards Vidura. And he told Dhritarashtra that leave this man only with his breath and throw him out. Leave him only with his breath, don't kill him. That's the only mercy that Duryodhana was willing to show. Now, normally, if you hear such harsh words from a person who is very young, first the false ego comes up. How dare you tell me to get out? I am senior to you in age. Yes, person is definitely wrong, but still, Vidura also could have responded like that to Duryodhana. Don't you know that I took care of you when you were children? He didn't say any of that. He didn't defend himself at all. In fact, he accepted the statement of Duryodhana as if it were the instruction of the Lord for him to get out of the palace. That was his consciousness. How to deal with adversities in life. How to see the Lord's plan in our life, in events that happen. How to see the will of the Lord in this whole pastime and align with the desire of Lord Krishna in our lives when it comes to adversities. That's something which we learn. So, when Vidura heard these harsh statements, he took it as a will of Lord Krishna and as an opportunity, excellent opportunity to get detached from his family members, which is a very, very big lesson for all householders, grihasthas. Brahmacharis have already taken that decision. So we don't need to preach to the priest. But for grihasthas, it's very important. An opportunity to cultivate detachment. For example, you know, in my own family, and I hope my cousins don't hear this lecture anywhere. They are not interested in Krishna consciousness. But recently, you know, 1 year back or so, one of them mooted a message. You know, my grandfather's name is Tyagaraja. So one of my cousins said that my dream is that all Tyagaraja Kutumba or Tyagaraja's family should come and live together in Chennai. Let us build a big apartment. All of our brothers, sisters, cousins should live in one apartment. And then my mother called up and asked me, what should I tell him? I told him, just say Hare Krishna. What can you tell? Right. Most of them in the family cannot see eye to eye. Right. So we are what Tyagaraja Kutumbam and what staying together. If, you know, of course, right now they are tolerating one another because one is in Dubai, one is in US, one is in Muscat. No, so sometimes we are speaking on the phone. But when we come together and Krishna is not there in the center, tolerating each other for more than, you know, few hours is very difficult. Right. So what to speak of living in one building. So a devotee knows that the goal of life is not Tyagaraja Kutumbam, it is Vasudeva Kutumbam. Right? That is what we are aspiring for. So from Vidura's life we understand that he was not too attached to his family members. And he took this as an excellent opportunity to align with Vasudeva Kutumbam. Who is Vasudeva Kutumbam? The sages. The sages who are surrendered, the Goswamis who are surrendered to the Lord, they are the family. They are the ultimate shelter for Vaishnavas. So he took that as an opportunity and he left the palace. Please understand, when he left the palace, he also changed his ashram. From Grihastha ashram, he took Vanaprastha ashram. He changed his ashram immediately just from that word of. Of course, one aspect of Vanaprastha ashram is husband and wife travel together to the Holy Dham. But he did not, it's not mentioned that his wife traveled with him. So he travelled alone. So in one sense it was as good as taking sannyas. So that is another lesson that he gives us. That a grihastha must not just rely on his bank balance and savings and just continue a very comfortable life doing Krishna consciousness as a part-time activity, you know, and feeling very good. Right? At some point in time, every grihastha must come face to face with the fact that vanaprastha life has to be taken. And fortunately, we have very good examples like His Grace Gurujan Prabhu and Jatatarani Mataji. They are a living example of how Vanaprastha ashram must be led. We have His Grace, His Holiness Shankarshandas Adhikari and Vishnu Priya Mataji. Another very good example. So thankfully, Srila Prabhupada has given us the gift of these kind of acharyas who are a great benediction for householders like me at least. So that we can see something ahead in our life as to how this is the way that we must live our life after whatever time that we take Vanaprastha. Of course, it is recommended in Srimad Bhagavatam that Vanaprastha life is at the age of 50. That is why the Hindi numbers become Ikavan, Bhavan. Ikavan means 51, Bhavan means 52. So the word 111 comes everywhere after 50. Because the Sanskrit numbering system tells us how to live our life. Go to the one, forest. Which is what Vidura did. Most of the people otherwise in this material world, when we ask them, my father is retired. Now, sometimes we ask, many people come and say, my father is retired. What is he doing? He is watching TV at home. Retired life means what? Changing channels. What is retired life? Yeah. So, you know, many times it happens like that. We ask, even in my family, many people who are very elderly. You know, my mother has been trying to preach to her brother, after getting inspired with Vidura's pastime. Why don't you take to Krishna consciousness? No. I am very happy with Lord Ganesh. I go to the temple in the morning, I circumambulate 108 times. Lord Ganesh, and that's all. After that, what do you do? After that, cricket. But test match is there. So he's always constantly worried, is India winning the test match against Australia or England? This is the main concern at a time when the jaws of death are coming and approaching. So for devotees, we sometimes feel surprised, but actually this is how the material world is. Retirement means just enjoy. So how to deal with adversity in life? Take that as an opportunity to cultivate detachment from the family and leave to pursue spiritual realization. So this is the second lesson we learn. How to depend on Krishna was the first lesson. How to deal with adversity is the second lesson. The third is how to understand Lord Krishna. This is the third lesson that we learn from Vidura's pastimes. Now, when Kesava Prabhu was explaining this in the Srimad Bhagavatam class to all of us, that Vidura left his home, and then you know it is mentioned that Vidura went on pilgrimage. He went on pilgrimage to one holy place after another. And it is mentioned that he went to take darshan of all the deities in all the holy places. So obviously the first question somebody will ask is, why Lord Krishna is there in the planet? All the time he was there, Vidura could see him. So why did he go and why did he have to go somewhere else and you know take darshan? If water is kept here, why should I go and search for a well? I can just pick up this water and drink. You know, this is material logic, right? So it explained that Vidura, yad yad acharati shrestas, whatever great men do, common man follows. So Vidura was setting an example for all of us that the real way of understanding Lord Krishna is not by directly seeing Lord Krishna. Shravanadi chitta shuddhi karilo udai. We have to understand Lord Krishna through the holes of our ears. That is the way of understanding the Lord. Duryodhana was also seeing Lord Krishna all the time. So what is the difference? Vidura was also seeing, Duryodhana was also seeing. So were all the rascals in the Kaurava side. They were all seeing Lord Krishna. So seeing Lord Krishna is not the way of understanding Lord Krishna. Of course, it doesn't apply to Archavigraha. Now, so that we don't misunderstand that it does not apply to Archavigraha, he went and took darshan of all the Archavigrahas. So he spent all his time associating with advanced sages, hearing Krishna Katha from them, and also taking darshan of Lord Krishna in the deity form. And those are the principles of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti that we have also been asked to adopt. What to speak of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti? Even Raghavanka Sadhana Bhakti also has deity worship. Of course, the deity worship is only spontaneous in nature and not driven by the fear of scriptural injunctions. But the deity worship aspect is still there. So Vidura taught us this lesson, how to understand Krishna. So after leaving, he associated with sages, he went on a pilgrimage. So much was he eager to hear about Lord Krishna and the pastimes of Lord Krishna that the Lord arranged for him to meet his own intimate associate during his sojourn or his journey. Who was that personality? Uddhava. In Bhagavad Bhagavatamrita, Uddhava is placed second only next to the gopis in the order of who is the most intimate servant of the Lord. So you can imagine Uddhava's exalted position. So the Lord arranged for Vidura to meet Uddhava. And you can imagine, can we call it as a coincidence? No, there were no cell phones at that time. Oh, Uddhava, where are you now? I am just traveling. No, it was not nothing like that. So in the whole world, you're just roaming around somewhere and you meet Uddhava. Now how is that? So obviously we understand that there is a plan of the Lord here, right? So he meets Uddhava, and immediately on meeting Uddhava, he begs to Uddhava, please tell me about Lord Krishna. Please tell me. Now, of course, Uddhava doesn't start thinking, okay, fine, sit down, let me give you a class now. No. Uddhava is another exalted devotee. What does he say? He says that, no, there is Maitreya Muni who is there, who is much more senior than I am. So you go and hear Lord Krishna's pastimes from Maitreya Muni. And Gangeshwar Prabhu was explaining in yesterday's Bhagavatam class that this is called as following Maryada Vyatikrama. Maryada Vyatikrama means what? Not having the desire to surpass a senior devotee. Not making comments when a senior devotee is speaking like that. To show our own knowledge of that topic like that. So Uddhava exemplified that value, that virtue. And then we see that immediately Vidura follows the instruction of Uddhava, the exalted devotee, and takes shelter of Maitreya Muni. Thus, he is following the instruction what Srila Prabhupada gives in text 4 of Bhagavad Gita. Tadvedi Pranipatena, sorry, chapter 4. Hari Prashnena Sevaya, Upadeshyati Te Jnanam, Jnaninas Tattva Darshina. So he goes to meet a Tattva Darshi, who is Maitreya Muni, who has witnessed the absolute truth. What has Maitreya Muni witnessed? He has witnessed the entire pastime of the departure of Lord Krishna. So he goes to hear from him and take shelter of him and get spiritual instructions and on Krishna consciousness from Maitreya Muni. So this is the third lesson that we understand from Vidura's life. How to depend on Krishna was the first one. How to deal with adversities in life, second lesson. Third is how to understand Lord Krishna. And the fourth lesson we get from him is how to shower real affection and compassion. What is real affection? Especially between two brothers. What is real affection? Vidura exemplifies that. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita gives us an interesting verse. He says, but the Lord says, Bharata Bhumite Haila Manushya Janmayara Janma Sartha Kapari Para Upakara. Which means that whoever is taken birth, whoever is fortunate to have taken birth in this holy land of India, Bharata Bhumi, must first aim at perfecting his own life and then go ahead and spread this message of Krishna consciousness to the entire world. All of us must come to the platform of becoming spiritual masters in order to assist Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. So, we see that Vidura followed that example to perfection. He perfected himself first by taking shelter of Maitreya Muni, receiving Krishna consciousness instructions from him, and then after perfecting himself, he did not just go and become a Bhajanandi saint. What did he do? He came back to the same material atmosphere which he was disgusted with and came to preach to his kith and kin, specifically to the person who was most blind, Dhritarashtra. He came back, and that is the real understanding of brotherly affection. Brotherly affection doesn't mean that, you know, we just ask, how are you, how is your health going on, how is your diabetes right now, how is your heart, did you go to the doctor, all that is very fine, very good. Right? How is your son studying? Is he going to Melbourne High School or Galway High School? You know, can I assist him in any way? My dear brother, do you want any loan for doing your business? All these things are okay. These are one part. But real affection between brothers is, my dear brother, with every rising and setting of the sun, you are one step closer to death. I have got a message by which the door of liberation will open for you, my dear brother. Eternal life. I want to come and share that message with you. Are you happy to receive it? Yes, I am very happy to receive it. Thank you very much. Go and preach. No, I don't care. This material life is short. It's meant to enjoy. Then what do you do after that? Reach. After that, no. Not much of association. That is a point in time to get detached from the brothers. So, it is very important for Vaishnavas to protect our Krishna consciousness. No affection. No bodily affection in this material world is more important than protecting our Krishna consciousness. It is very clearly said in the scriptures that one who has become Krishna conscious does not owe any allegiance to his forefathers or to his kith and kin. We don't owe anything to anybody. But having said that, it doesn't mean that we become heartless. Our heart becomes like a stone. So we are completely apathetic to all their problems and issues. No. We go, we try to, sometimes we can even help our relatives if they have a material problem. For example, if our brother has met with an accident or something and if you have to go, yes, that's our duty because Vaishnavas are compassionate. Vaishnava doesn't mean not becoming a human being. But Vaishnava means action in inaction. And inaction in action, which is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. That is Vaishnava. We go there, we do our duties, but with a detached sense of consciousness. There is only one situation where we get attached to our family members. That is if they are also Vaishnavas. It is said that if we cannot love our wife, if we cannot love our children, if we cannot love our parents, what is the probability that we will love Krishna? If we cannot love even these people, right? So a Vaishnava is, his heart is full of love. The only question here is that Vaishnava does not compromise Krishna consciousness for the sake of mundane affection. So this message has to be understood very carefully. And when we understand it very carefully, we know exactly how to deal with our kith and kin. So we see that Vidura came back to the same material atmosphere, this time to preach to Dhritarashtra out of affection for his brother. And now when he is coming back, that is the scene of this verse. He has come back now to Hastinapur. And that is what is happening. When they saw Vidura return to the palace, all the inhabitants, Maharaj Yudhishthira, his younger brothers, Dhritarashtra, Satyaki, Sanjaya, Kripacharya, Kunti, Gandhari, Draupadi, Subhadra, Uttara, Kripi, many other wives of the Kauravas and other ladies with children all hurried to him in great delight. He was gone for a full 30 years. They were seeing him after 30 years. It so appeared that they had regained their consciousness after a very long period. And Srila Prabhupada mentions here different personalities and the qualities that these personalities had. Srila Prabhupada talks about Gandhari. Of course, as I said, the purport is very lengthy. So I will just give a few points which are important. Srila Prabhupada writes about Gandhari, and she was the daughter of Gandhar Desh, which is today called as Kandahar in Kabul, where the famous hijacking of the Indian Airlines flight happened a few years ago by the terrorists. So that is a place where Gandhari man appeared. Now Gandhari was a worshipper. It is mentioned, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that she is a worshipper of Lord Shiva, and she prayed for a good husband. Of course, when you pray for a good husband, it's there are different connotations here. What is good husband? No? Of course, it is a materially good husband she asked for, not spiritually good husband. Spiritually good husband can be given by Lord Krishna, right? Lord Shiva is Ashutosh, easily pleased. So sometimes he gives material benefits also. So she approached Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva gave her a husband by whom she can get 100 children. The only problem was he was materially and spiritually blind. That was a major problem. Now Gandhari is very well known for her chastity. When she realized that her husband cannot see, she tied her own eyes and decided that I have no right to see what my husband cannot see. This is the height of chastity, if you like. Of course, the only thing higher than that is, no, I don't mind seeing because I can serve them. I can make my husband Krishna consciousness, no, with my own eyes and with my service. That is of course higher than these principles. But from a Vedic point of view, this is a very high principle of serving the husband or affection for a husband. So on one hand, you know, Prabhupada is glorifying, you know, this aspect of Gandhari. But Srila Prabhupada also writes in his purports, but she was envious of Kunti. That was her problem. She was envious of Kunti for a very small reason. That Kunti bore a child before she, you know, she did. You know, she conceived before. So she was very, you know, disturbed with that. So in frustration, she hit her own abdomen when she was pregnant. And then a lump of flesh was born. And later on it is mentioned that this lump of flesh eventually manifested as the 100 Kauravas children. Like that. Now, Gandhari is a very peculiar personality. You know? On one hand, her chastity was there, but she continuously harbored, you know, some ill feelings towards the Pandavas, you know, inside her heart. Now, from a material point of view, she will get a complete 100% take for feeling like that. Because any mother would naturally be upset with someone who kills her children. So from a material point of view, yes, it is not surprising that she harbored this for the Pandavas. In fact, so much so that she wanted to curse the Pandavas. And it was only the timely intervention of Vyasadeva which saved the situation. When the Pandavas are all going to offer, what is it, Pinda it is called? To offer oblations to the, you know, Kauravas. At that time, Gandhari was on that spot. And she was seething with rage at the Pandavas. And she wanted to curse. At that time, Vyasadeva came and intervened. And that saved the Pandavas from getting her curse. In fact, Himanulila was mentioning to me a conversation from the Mahabharata when she was most angry at Bhima for having, you know, killed Duryodhan not only killed, but having hit him below the thigh and killed him like that. She was very angry, upset with him for that. So when she met Bhima, she asked Bhima, how can you do this like that, you know, to win this battle? And Bhima very expertly told her that, Mate, you only told that let whatever side is righteous, may that side win. Did you not bless? So he very expertly, you know, argued with Gandhari at that time. And then Gandhari, you know, became a little bit subdued after that. But again, it was the job of Vyasadeva to keep her always under check. In fact, when Maharaj Yudhishthira came in front of her, of course Maharaj Yudhishthira's mood is completely different than Bhima's mood. While Bhima was giving logic back to her, Maharaj Yudhishthira, he was humility personified, you know. So when he came in front of Gandhari, he was shivering. And then, not only shivering, but he was feeling sincere remorse. Like yesterday also, you know, Gangeshwar Prabhu was mentioning that he performed yajnas after that, because constantly this was in his, playing on his mind, that I am the reason for the battle of Kurukshetra. Though we all know very clearly that Dhritarashtra was the reason, but somehow Maharaj Yudhishthira was such a humble person. For everything wrong that happened, he told that I am to blame, like that. So when he came in front of Gandhari, Gandhari momentarily opened her eyes and briefly looked at his toe. It is said that his toe developed burn marks. It turned brown in color just by the power of Gandhari. So you can imagine, if Gandhari would have opened her eyes completely and seen the Pandavas, that would have been the end on that day. So Prabhupada writes in his purport that Vyasadeva saved the situation. And then of course Lord Krishna also came. And when Gandhari saw Lord Krishna, she was even more upset with the Lord Krishna, because she knew that everything is happening according to the instructions of Lord Krishna. So she was very upset with him. But the Lord allowed her to curse him. And this is a very important lesson from this section. Actually nobody can curse the Lord. The Lord is Swarat. He is beyond the three modes of material nature. So who can curse the Lord? Right? The Lord is beyond any reactions, action and reaction. He comes into this material world, but he is not of this material world. He is not bound by the rules of this material world. Right? But still, Lord Krishna accepted the curse of Gandhari. Why? Because it was completely aligned with his own plan which he had made earlier. What was the curse that Gandhari gave him? Just as my children left, and you separated my children from me, I will separate you from your children, who are the Yadu dynasty. So she cursed him. And Lord Krishna said, accept it. I was thinking about how to, get rid of the Yadu dynasty. Not get rid, in one sense. How to take the Yadu dynasty back from this world. Because nobody can kill the Yadu dynasty. They were the most powerful, right? But then you solved that problem. Thank you very much. The Lord accepted that. So Srila Prabhupada gives, a brief paragraph on Gandhari here, and some of these things Prabhupada is mentioning in very brief. Not all of what I said, but some of these things. Then Srila Prabhupada mentions about Kunti Maharani or Pratha. Prabhupada mentions that she is an incarnation of the success potency of the Lord, Kunti Maharani. And her affection for Lord Krishna was very intense. In fact, after Lord Krishna left Hastinapur for Dwarka, it is mentioned that Kunti Maharani ate only once in 30 days. She couldn't even eat in separation of the Lord. Such was her affection. And finally, eventually it is mentioned that Kunti Maharani left the palace silently with Dhritarashtra and Gandhari, because she couldn't live without Krishna, to the southern part of the Himalayas. Srila Prabhupada also mentions about Draupadi in this purport. Draupadi was the most chaste daughter of Maharaj Drupadi. And Srila Prabhupada explains how surrendered she was to Lord Krishna again, which is seen during the Vastraharan pastime, when she was being disrobed in an assembly. Then how she gave up hope that all her husbands will support her, and then she surrendered to Krishna, and she had that faith in the Lord, and then immediately the Lord supplied enormous number of cloth. So Draupadi is known for that surrender. That's why we also chant. Our whole idea of doing this when we are chanting Hare Krishna has come from Draupadi. But she chanted like that, which means no longer I am in control of myself. Lord, you take control of my life. I'm not the controller. I can't even control myself. Neither can I protect myself. So you please protect me.
So Srila Prabhupada writes about Draupadi,
and it is mentioned that Draupadi also accompanied her husband Maharaj Yudhishthira, because eventually after all Dhritarashtra, Gandhari, Kunti, after all of them left for the Himalaya, the Pandavas also followed suit,
and at that time Draupadi followed her husband.
It is just mentioned briefly, Ramananda was telling me this morning in the Mahabharata, that as they mentioned, as they walk in the Himalayas, one by one they start falling down. And it is mentioned that Draupadi also fell down. The Acharya say she fell down, as in physically fell down, because of her favoritism to Arjuna. Though she was affectionate to all her husbands, she had a slight tinge of favoritism to one husband of hers, which was Arjuna. Because of that, the Shastra says, of course, these are all transcendental pastimes and it's very difficult for us to understand from a mundane point of view. But Srila Prabhupada mentions about Draupadi as well in these purports. And finally, Srila Prabhupada mentions about Subhadra. Subhadra Devi is the daughter of Vasudev and the sister of Lord Krishna. Subhadra obviously was very dear to Lord Krishna, and Arjuna was also very dear to Lord Krishna. So, according to the wish of Lord Krishna, he instructed Arjuna that you kidnap my sister. Nobody will say like that. Tomorrow can you please kidnap my sister? But Lord Krishna arranged for this pastime. Lord Balaram was very upset with this. He was not in line. He said this is not correct. But because Lord Krishna's instruction, Lord Balaram also had to subjugate to the instructions of Lord Krishna. So eventually Subhadra married Arjuna. However, she also lost her son Abhimanyu in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, pretty much like Gandhari. So she was extremely mortified, but at the same time she was very happy when Maharaj Parikshit was born. So Srila Prabhupada mentions about this in this purpose, which you can read offline. Now this verse is the verse for today. So it is mentioned that it so appeared that they had regained their consciousness. Now Vidura is appearing. Now all these personalities we have described, now Vidura is appearing. Now, important point to understand from the Pandava side also is to how they treated Vidura. Usually what happens is, when our relative comes after many years, for example, even many of us have faced, when we go and meet our relatives after a few years and we go in dhoti and kurta, what do they tell us? What happened? Have you gone mad or something? Something is wrong with you. Or they may just not tell it, but they may look at you like that and say, oh, okay. And then they may go and discuss with the other relative, something is wrong with this fellow. He was normal before. Before he used to come from Australia, he will wear nice sports shoes and Australian, that what is it, Melbourne t-shirt which you get in the gift shop. All those things he used to wear with goggles and come. But now he is coming in dhoti and kurta. What is wrong with him? So people can't relate to this, our relatives. And many times they will treat us as much as they treated us before. They will not understand a devotee. They will treat us in the same way. They will come and ask us, would you like, I have made your favorite onion, whatever, flesh or whatever. Or our cousins will come and speak to us, so what's happening? In Australia, so you must be watching MCG. That's what they will talk to us. Melbourne cricket ground, you must be going very often to watch matches there. So even with a dhoti and kurta, they will not understand how to deal with us, right? But when the Pandavas saw Vidura, they are so much used to seeing Vidura as one amongst them. But when now Vidura is entering, the way the Pandavas are treating him is completely different. And that speaks volumes of the Pandavas' spiritual maturity. They are no longer inviting or treating him like their uncle. They are, the way, if you go to the subsequent verses, you'll see that the way they are treating him is as good as a sadhu. And why not? Not as good as, he is a sadhu. He has become a sadhu. He is no longer the old Vidura. Even as an old Vidura, he was a sadhu. But now, he has taken shelter of a spiritual master, he has perfected his life and he has come back. So obviously, that spiritual tejas is showing on Vidura's face after 30 years of spiritual practice. So they are welcoming him as such. So this is something which we learn from Vidura's life, but from the side of the Pandavas. So much tejas was there in Vidura, it prompted Maharaj Yudhishthira to say that famous verse, where he says, Bhavad Vida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantas Tena Gadabhata. He says that, dear Vidura, people like you are holy places of pilgrimage personified. We don't have to go to the Ganga and take a bath. Just lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy. You see such a holy person and Krishna consciousness manifests in your heart. Whereas the waters of the Ganges can only purify after prolonged use. One moment of association with you can purify all of us. And that actually happens. The moment they say Vidura,
they all develop a sense of renunciation.
So that is the fourth lesson, which is how to shower
real affection and compassion on our relatives. So Vidura went back and he ensured that he delivered all his relatives, including Dhritarashtra. And the fifth and final lesson from his life we learn is how to preach intelligently with compassion. Mere compassion is not required, it is not enough. Preaching has to be intelligent, based on time, place, circumstance.
Who should be given the message? What should the message be?
And how it should be administered? That is the art which Srila Prabhupada wanted all his disciples to become expert preachers, based on time, place and circumstance. So this we learn from Vidura.
So, on one hand he meets the Pandavas. When he meets the Pandavas,
Maharaj Yudhishthira is asking him a lot of questions. Oh, you have been away for 30 years. You must have gone to Dwaraka. You must have seen the Yadu dynasty. How is everyone? You know, all these questions
Maharaj Yudhishthira is asking him. And Vidura is describing everything that happened, except he never mentions about the disappearance of Lord Krishna.
Why? Why does he not mention that?
He constantly avoids that issue. He never mentions that point. Everything else he does, except the fact that I know that Lord Krishna has left this world now. He has wound up his pastimes.
Because of his compassion, he knows that the Pandavas cannot live even for one moment without Lord Krishna. Kunti Maharani also cannot. They will give up their bodies then and there to Lord Krishna.
So, he is not mentioning anything about that. So it is mentioned that he neglected to reveal the disappearance of Yadu dynasty and also neglected to reveal Lord Krishna's disappearance because he was unable to see the Pandavas depressed owing to his compassion for them.
And eventually
he left it to Maharaj Yudhishthira to figure out himself
when he saw Arjuna later, because Arjuna had also gone there and Arjuna came back, and when Maharaj Yudhishthira saw Arjuna, even Arjuna was not telling him anything, but when he saw Arjuna's face, he asked him several questions. Towards the end, he comes to understand that, you know, something is wrong. And then he sees evil opens everywhere, you know, and the onset of Kali Yuga. And by that he understands that Lord Krishna has disappeared. But Vidura never mentions. So there is a very important point which His Holiness, His Grace Gurujan Prabhu mentions in, you know, unveiling the lotus feet.
He mentions that Niti Shastra or civic laws mentions that one should not speak unpalatable truth to cause distress to others. Distress comes automatically by the laws of nature. So no need to aggravate it by propaganda.
So if we hear any bad news, doesn't mean we get excited and share it with the whole congregation. You know what, this has happened, that has happened.
No need. Bhujan Prabhu writes that unlike Vidura, we enjoy gossip. Especially if it involves topic of someone else's difficulties.
Then, you know, sometimes it's a devotees who are still struggling with anartha get pleasure in discussing the problems of others, you know, as a part of the gossip.
Like that.
So Gurujan Prabhu is very heavy. He cuts that
attitude.
He mentions that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur laments para dukkha sukha karo. Means, how can we relish the miseries of other people as a part of our gossip?
And he mentions that bad news will disseminate on its own. So no effort needs to be put. No endeavor is needed to spread bad news. Moment it comes, everybody will know and people will start talking about it.
So we learn from Vidura how to have control over our tongue, especially when it comes to speaking.
What to speak, what not to speak. That is one. That is the final lesson. And the final lesson, as the second part of the preaching intelligently, is he channelized Duryodhana. So this is his relationship with the Pandavas. This is his conversation with the Pandavas. With Duryodhana, he channelized Duryodhana's frustration very expertly. So he reminded Dhritarashtra. He preached to Dhritarashtra very expertly. Dhritarashtra was still sitting in the palace, living on the food which is thrown to him by the Pandavas. So Vidura told him, "What kind of a person are you? Do you have any shame?" He compared him to a household dog. He said, "You are living in the house of those people who you tried to kill by arson. You made several attempts. Even when the Pandavas had gone to give Pindha to the Kauravas at that time, when I mentioned that Gandhari wanted to curse
At that time, Dhritarashtra approached to embrace the Pandavas. And by that embrace, he wanted to crush the Pandavas. At that time, Lord Krishna saved because he came as a stone. Right? And he, Dhritarashtra embraced, and the stone also cracked, right? So, Bhima, correct, correct. When he embraced the form of Bhima, then there was a stone, right?
Iron
form. And that too, they cracked. Yeah. So that was the power of Dhritarashtra, right? So, such a man who had such intense desire to kill today is surviving under them. So how can one be more shameless than this? So Vidura is telling them, no? How can you be so shameless? And the Pandavas, of course, Maharaj Yudhishthira was very kind to Dhritarashtra, because Maharaj Yudhishthira's mood and Bhima's mood are very different. But Bhima never lost a chance to taunt Dhritarashtra. Every day, passing in here and there, Bhima also always used to tell Dhritarashtra, we have finished all these 100 devils. Okay, and now the father is here. No? He used to talk like that. So even after listening to all that, he was sitting in that house. So the word shameless was very appropriate when Vidura told this to Dhritarashtra. He called him a household dog and told him that at least now you become dhira. Because the jaws of time, there is an elaborate explanation of the power of time. He says that Krishna, as the power of time, will now devour you. Anyway, you are going to get separated from all this wealth, from the palace of Hastinapur, from all your kith and kin. So at least now realize and get out of this palace. And then by such powerful preaching, Dhritarashtra, without informing anyone, not even Sanjaya is the most intimate associate of Dhritarashtra, by whom he was able to hear the Bhagavad Gita. He did not even inform Sanjaya. He left along with Gandhari to the southern part of the Himalayas, where it is mentioned later that he sat in self-realization, he practiced Ashtanga Yoga, and then he attained what is called as Atma Shakshatkar. He attained his spiritual realization. So that is the power of Vidura. So this whole section, as we said, to sum up, Vidura is the hero of this entire chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Five important lessons that we learned from Vidura today. Point one, lesson one was how to depend on Krishna. Goptratya Varanam Tata, that Lord Krishna is the maintainer. Second lesson we saw is how to deal with adversity in life. Third lesson we saw is how to understand Krishna through the holes of one's tears. Fourth lesson is how to shower affection and love on kith and kin. And fifth is how to preach very expertly based on time, place, circumstance, so that people can take appropriate decisions in their life. So we'll stop here. Thank you for your patience. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, just in relation to the first point that you mentioned, that Vidur was the incarnation of Yamaraj. So when Vidur came on this planet as Yamaraj, when Yamaraj incarnated as Vidur,
there is a personality by the name Aryan who was substituting for Vidura, for Yamaraj. Aryama was ruling at that time. So the affairs of birth and death and punishment were still going on. Otherwise, it would have been a holiday, picnic time for all the sinners. I can tell you what is my understanding. Please correct me. When Sanjaya preached, giving instructions, passing on the instructions of Bhagavad Gita to Dhritarashtra, he did not become pure at that point in time. How come? Now, again, that is the glory of Vidura. It is Vidura's love and affection, and Vidura's Brahma Tejas, or the tejas which he developed from bhakti, that melted the heart of Dhritarashtra. That is my understanding from this section. Yes, Sanjaya was still under the kingdom of Dhritarashtra. But please understand, Sanjaya was only performing a role which was given to him by Dhritarashtra to explain. Vidura was not given a role to deliver Dhritarashtra. Vidura did it out of love and affection for him. It doesn't mean that Sanjaya did not have that love and affection. But Sanjaya was just doing a job. For example, in an office you are given a role. So Sanjaya was a servant of Dhritarashtra. So he was doing his role as a servant. Okay, I am blind, so you tell me what is happening in Kurukshetra. So he was narrating something. But what Vidura did was different. Vidura had an intense desire that Dhritarashtra becomes a devotee. That intensity of desire made Dhritarashtra renounce his kingdom. In Madhurya Kadambi, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, in the first few pages, talks about is Krishna partial or impartial? Actually, the Lord is impartial because everyone is Lord's children. So how come some people become devotees and some others don't become devotees? So then Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur reconciles that argument by saying that yes, the Lord sometimes, you know, and the Lord also says in Bhagavad Gita, I am impartial, but sometimes I am partial to my devotees also. So it is very difficult to understand Lord's statement. But whether the Lord is impartial or partial is another issue. But the devotees are definitely partial. Which devotees are partial? The Madhyama Adhikaris. Prema Maitri Kripa Upeksha Yaha Karoti Samadhyama. So the Madhyama Adhikaris discriminate. The Uttama Adhikari may not discriminate. The Madhyama Adhikari decides who is the patra, who is the recipient of bhakti. So it's the intense desire of the Madhyama Adhikari. Actually, the Uttama Adhikari coming down and playing the Madhyama Adhikari role, it is the intense desire that someone should become devotee. That is how someone becomes a devotee. Like that. So, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur concludes that section by saying, bhakti inside one's heart is a result of bhakti inside another person's heart. So, this the intense desire of Vidura, just imagine, he is 30 years, he is outside the kingdom. Why will he come back to the same, you know, mud? Right? So you can imagine the intensity of his desire. The same intensity of desire was demonstrated by Srila Prabhupada also. Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. He could have just led his life as a Bhajanandi Saint. He was already Jivan Mukta at that time. Why will he sit in the cargo ship and go to, you know, when sometimes, you know, yesterday I was driving through Fitzroy Street and we were seeing a prostitute sitting there and, you know, some fellow with vague dress, you know, some purple hair and whatever going around. So when I was thinking, and the immediate thing that came into my mind was, wow, Prabhupada went to such place, Fitzroy Street, to preach. No? Because that the Bovary of Vidura was like Vidura's dream only. Right? So what drives? Why did the hippies become happy? It was because Prabhupada took out the love from his heart and gave it to them. Become, take this love. Like that. So that intensity is, this is my understanding, and please correct me if I am misquoting. Gopaneshwar, you want to add something? Prabhuji? I got my answer. Okay, so any more questions, we'll take it offline. It's already 9:17 now. Thank you very much for your patience.